Hey, good morning, everybody. Or maybe it's good afternoon where you are, or good evening. But hey, we just want you to know that this is the day the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Good morning. Welcome to church. My name is Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler. And what we do on Sunday mornings is just a small part of the Robert Schuler Ministries, a church with no walls. What is going on?
It says that some of our streaming has some connection issues.
Oh, well, that's okay. Whatever. Yeah. I hope you're watching on one of the platforms that is not getting interrupted. But all the time, we don't have a choice. We just set it up. We put it on. We're supposed to be in about seven different platforms. And hopefully you can see us. Hopefully you're watching on our website or Twitter or YouTube. And if you're watching on any of those, and especially YouTube, why don't you subscribe to our channel and you'll get alerts when we're on. We don't do a lot. One of the things we do is Sunday morning like this. And also go to our website, drschuler.org, and leave us your email address, because we're not sure how long we're going to be on some of these social media platforms. We don't want to lose you. We want to be able to continue to connect with you. So please do give us your email address. We don't send out a bunch of stuff, trust me.
Our attempt is not to be politically correct. Our attempt is to share the truth as we read it from the Bible as it pertains to the realities that we face in our world today. The Bible is very specific about things that God ordains, that God loves. Even the fact that I talk about God is first and foremost one of the hardest things for many people in our culture today to embrace, because that then puts them in an awkward position because of what the Bible says. So I'm a Bible teacher. I've been teaching the Bible for
a long time.
Let's just leave it at that.
A long time. I'm not quite as old as he is. So
No, you're a lot younger than I am. And so anyway, yeah, I married a younger woman, I confess. And a year and a half?
Year and a half younger. Just yeah. I'm a woman, I wear makeup, he doesn't wear makeup.
Yeah, so, there you go. Yeah, she just looks.
Otherwise, he'd look as smooth and finished as me. He won't let me put makeup on him. I don't know why.
I'm just.
You used to have to do that for TV.
I did it for most of my life. Just a can of junk that they'd put on my face.
When he didn't need it, when he was young and beautiful. And now that he needs it. He doesn't use it, but this isn't about looks here. This is about the Bible. This is
if you ever see some old Hour of Power stuff, there's a good chance that you'll see me on that. I was on those Hour of Power programs from
years.
The Christ Cathedral, which is in Garden Grove, California. It started airing in 1970 when there was only three channels on television throughout the nation of the United States, and in other countries like Russia had one station, and we actually broadcast on that station as well back in the 90s, the end of the Gorbachev administration.
I'm telling you, he's been around.
I've been around. Yeah, what can I say? So anyway, I started in 76 on that program, and I was on almost every program since then. I was doing a lot of preaching and did most of the preaching throughout. At the turn of the century, I was doing most of the preaching
until 2008.
So if you see any old archived, and my belief is they're going to start enrolling a lot of those messages out.
That'll be great. There's so
and,
many great
so you can listen to
messages.
Some of my old messages, and you can see how I have changed. and I think I've changed with the times, because I believe we're at a time in society and in culture where the truth is never more important to understand, hear, and realize.
Right.
And what's going on in the world today. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about that, the Club of Rome.
Getting
a little sexy there.
No,
let me just button it up there.
I was looking in the camera. I go, that's not a good look.
There you go. So anyway, again, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, because we know that no matter what we face, it's nothing compared Today, it's nothing compared to what our forefathers faced in Rome in the first century. The Christians were persecuted to the nth degree. And with every drop of Christian blood that fell, a new crop of Christians would grow. And the church thrived through persecution, and it still does, and it always will.
It's God's plan, right?
And today, the church, Christians are the most persecuted entity in the world as we speak. You can say everything that hurts somebody's feelings in the United States of America is considered hate speech, with the exception of Christians. You can say whatever you want about Christians, and that's free game. So
it's not right.
So but it is what it is. And as Christians, we are empowered, and that's why they come after us, and that's why they have the ability. And you say, who is they? I'll explain who they is.
Good.
Today.
A lot of people ask
I'll actually put a name on it.
We used to ask that.
And this
question.
Is just exactly. And that's just one of many names. So it's very likely that this will be censored because they don't want the truth being told. They don't want the light being shown on the reality of what's going on in the world. And these books are still being published. Well, there's one that came out in the 60s I'm going to be talking about, or early 70s.
Well, the light singes them, right? It singes their eyes.
Well, first of all, when people see the truth, there's no going back. You can't close your eyes to this anymore.
You can't unsee things.
You can't unsee it. And they want to keep you in the dark so they can manipulate and control. And we live in the United States of America, or most people listening to us live in the United States of America, or they're migrated to the United States of America. And anyway, it's a bastion of freedom that still exists. So,
well, one of the things
you want to talk about your book?
Well, I'm going to read the scripture, and my book's been out now almost a month. And you have a picture of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a copy for my mom. You can see a little tab on there. It's for mom because she hasn't picked it up. She's been out of town. You go ahead. That's what it is.
That's the book.
Yeah.
Fearless Women by Donna Schuler, Transforming Negative Emotions into Positive Realities.
Exactly. And I want to say, so there's I have a little posted in here in the back, because in the epilogue of this book, I actually had 9 different women, including my mom, write a little bit about what it means to be fearless. So there's a short story written by my mom on fearless aging. My friend Carrie Herbert wrote Fearless Philanthropy. Fearless Marriage by Mary Olds. I've got 9 different, Pastor Amy Cardiff did Fearless Vision. So that's the epilogue. There's 9, I call it my bonus chapter, because this book has 40 chapters in it. It's how to be a fearless woman and transform negative emotions into positive realities, because that's what the Bible wants you to do. The Bible wants you to reframe your thinking through Jesus Christ. So let me give you a small example of what I mean. What I mean is, bad stuff is just thrown at us all day long. And how do we handle this stuff? We handle it with faith. Faith, not fear, right? So we can stick our tail between our legs and we can run the other direction, or we can face what we're afraid of, because fearlessness does not mean not being afraid. It just means finding a way around whatever's challenging you. And the best partner you can have, the supernatural coach that you cannot replace, you cannot find anywhere, is Jesus Christ. And he wants to be your partner. So if you buy my book, Fearless Women, Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities by Donna Schuler, I notice now you don't even have to go to Amazon. You can just go into your search bar and put Fearless Women by Donna Schuler, and the link will come up. And if you buy this book, 100% of the money goes straight into the ministry. What I love about Amazon is I don't have to do any bookkeeping. It's going straight in. I just assigned it to the Robert Schuler Ministries, the Gathering Church bank account. So the money goes in there every 30 days. In fact, get ready to check, because I sold a few books the first month, and I'm hoping to sell a few more. And one more thing about that, and that is, If you have a women's group, or if you know of a women's group, or if you want to help me by giving the head of your women's group anywhere, secular, Christian, doesn't matter who it is, I can speak to them. I feel called by God to speak to as many women's groups as I can and share the message of fearless women and woman and how to transform your negative things that happen to you, your negative thoughts, your negative emotions, how to transform those into positive realities with the help of God, with the love of Jesus Christ. So that's all I want to say about that today. And please consider going and buying that book. It's a great donation to our ministry, and we'd really appreciate it, both of us.
Yeah, that would be true. Right? So buy the book. Here it is. Let me show you one more time the picture. Fearless Women Transform Negative Emotions into Positive Realities.
And that's my niece on the front.
Yeah, and you can give a copy to your mother, give a copy to your daughters, give a copy to your sisters, your aunts. So anyway, buy one for yourself. Donna, why don't you go ahead and read the scripture?
Sure, I'd love to do that. It's my honor, my privilege to read from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10:23 through 11:1. The way it's written is very interesting today. So 1 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 23. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is it my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And those are the words of St. Paul. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you have given us this bounty, that you have given us this earth and everything in it to have, to protect and to take care of and to use. These are resources that you put on earth for us to enjoy. Thank you that you give us a sense of responsibility and gratitude and pride in these beautiful things, in the animals that roam the hills, in the trees, in the lakes, in the rivers, in the oceans, in the birds that fly above us. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us dominion and power and the ability to rule over these things. May we continue to appreciate the bounty that you've supplied for us. May we continue to eat and drink in the way you would have us to go. And that is in being grateful to you and being thankful to you for these provisions, for this bounty, for the way you love us, for the way you care for us. Thank you, Lord, for touching someone's heart in a new way right now. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So would you like me to do the offering?
Yes, please.
So we are a ministry and we take offerings. And here's the thing about the offering. The offering is more important for you than it is for this ministry. And it's important.
That's what people fail to realize. Yeah.
Right. It's important because you don't want to hold on to your money like this. You want to go like this. And the reason you want to do that is because it shows God that you're grateful and that your ability to give and help others is more important than the balance in your bank account. Of course, you need to take care of yourself, make sure you have a roof over your head and food in your belly and all that. But the Lord wants you to give. And I know there's people out there that feel a calling on their heart. And maybe you give to another church. That's fantastic. That's great. But if you don't, make sure you give to a church, a Christian church. The Christian church needs it more than ever today. And we are a Christian church. We're a 501c3 nonprofit as well in the state of California. And we welcome your donations and we use them very wisely. We have no staff. It's Robert and myself. Yeah. We have volunteers at our church service at 10 a.m., which is live here. And we have a person or two we have one person actually that helps us with IT stuff. He's an independent contractor. When we get, you know, calls like, your website, drschuler.org, is not working right now. We're like, we call a guy named Craig in Iowa and he's awesome.
I want to add one more caveat to that.
Please.
When you make a donation to a church, make sure the church is awake and not woke.
Oh.
And what's the difference between awake and awoke? And most churches, most churches are asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
There are some churches that are awake and many churches that are woke. If your church is flying a rainbow flag and they believe that children should be transitioned, that there's more than two genders, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. They're not asleep. If they are asleep, they have been manipulated, because the Bible is very succinct. You need to give your donations to a Bible-believing church. The Bible says God created man male and female, period. There are no eight genders. And so if somebody's trying to tell you that there are, just go back to the Bible. Realize that this Bible tells us what is and isn't true. You want to give your money to a church that is pro-life, that supports life, that wants to support, again, the Bible, when God tells us to be fruitful and multiply. And when somebody is pregnant, you don't have that freedom, that choice to decide to be God all of a sudden and take that life. God is God, and we need to worship him. So when you give your money to a church, make sure that church is a Bible-believing, awake church.
Yes.
And understands what's going on in our society and in our culture today, because the world is at being attacked, and you as a human being, all humans today are being attacked. And one of the attacks is to bring down the population of the world, mm-hmm. eugenics. And I'm going to be talking about that. It's been a plan of many of the leaders in the world for some time. And again, I this message may be taken down because...
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I was tapping him like we need to get through the offering so I can leave.
Okay, so that's the offering.
So he can preach.
Tell them how they can make their donations to our ministry.
You know, we're good partners, and we're honest here, even live with you all. But here's how you can give. You can go to our website. That's probably the most important, drschuler.org, drschuller.org. It's one word, drschuler.org. And there's a little button that says, I'd like to give. And while you're there, please leave us your email address so we can contact you in case we're kicked off all social media platforms. And we are live on drschuler.org as well. And we won't go into all the other different platforms. But if you don't like to give that way, you can write us a check and mail it to our address, which if you're in drschuler.org, you can scroll to the bottom of the homepage. And our address is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. 92660. I'm sure you didn't get that because most of you aren't taking notes as we speak. Some of you are, but go to drschuler.org, scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll see where to mail a check. And we're also taking Venmo for a while, and hopefully that works for a while. And it's Robert Schuler Ministries, three words, Robert Schuler Ministries Venmo account. And we take Venmo as well. And you know what? God will bless you for what you feel called to give, for what you're able to give, for what God puts on your heart to just give and be generous. And we believe in tithing, and we've been tithing our whole marriage. And I'll tell you, God has never failed us. He brings us a blessing with a new opportunity for ministry, or once in a while, he'll bring us a blessing of finances that we didn't expect. Just we run into an old relative we haven't seen in a while. There's blessings that you cannot imagine. Once you start letting go, you just breathe, let go. It's going to work out, Lord. So I love you all. I'm going to go walk the dog. Let you speak.
Make a green
and
drink.
Please, please, if you haven't done so yet, here's my mom's tab. Please buy my book, because it's going to help this ministry. It's going to help me get this message out to young women who are more confused today than ever. They need this. They need to know how to be fearless, how to stand up to people. And they say, oh, you're probably not a woman. You act a little like a guy. You like sports. You should probably transition. You know, no, absolutely not. We're not going for that. So God loves you. So do I. And here's Robert.
You're funny.
Yeah, I took a weekend off. You can tell.
Yeah, exactly.
I took the last weekend off, and I'm just feeling very fresh and frisky.
Well, for the past few weeks, I've been going through the book of Exodus and choosing different passages. I haven't taken every passage. And what I've been doing is actually following the lectionary that we have from the Reformed Church in America. I was ordained in the Dutch Reformed Church in America. And they dropped the Dutch part, even though that's part of our historical reference. It's the Reformed Church in America. I was ordained in that church in 1980. And I have been preaching almost every Sunday ever since. And I have gone with different topical sermons, and I've gone through books of the Bible, and I've done different things. But one of the things I have never done since 1980 is actually go and taken 1 year of the lectionary and just preached from the lectionary. The lectionary in the Reformed Church of America's book actually has 4 years worth of lections. Of lectures or texts to preach from. And so I've decided I'm going to preach through these, and so that's what I've been doing since January. And today, for the Reformed Church in America, the lectionary that they have given us, the text that they have told me to preach on, is Exodus 32. Exodus 32, as some of you may know, deals with the calf, the golden calf, when the Israelites went and made a golden calf and started worshiping this idol. Now, it's craziness. It's absolute insanity. You figure, how in the world could these people do this? Because you look at what they went through. First of all, they were slaves in Egypt. That they were responsible to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's higher ups, the people who controlled society, because throughout history, the history of mankind is people of power enslave people with less power. And that slave becomes the energy source from which they can have luxury. Because otherwise, the history of man without machines has been, it takes almost every waking moment that a human being has for survival. That means you have to plan for fuel for the cold. You have to plan for fuel for creating sustenance, food, clothing. And by the time you're done doing all the things that are necessary to do that without machines, without powered machines, without the engine, without fossil fuels, is an unbelievable chore and requires extreme energy, to the point where basically throughout the history of humanity, it has required somebody to spend most of their time just doing that one thing. So if somebody becomes powerful, where they have the means to be able to tell what other people what to do, then they can force those people to give them part of their food, to give them their part of their clothes, build their shelters, et cetera, so they can enjoy luxury. but only the top 1% can do that. Historically, what's happened when we look at the history of the world? When you look at the history of mankind in the world, it has been that way until the beginning of the 19th century, the Industrial Revolution, where machines started doing a lot of the work for mankind. And engines which power these machines through fossil fuels has made humanity prosper to the point where most of the middle class people in the world can basically live like a king of 200 years ago, in that we can sit there and be entertained by watching television. We don't have to worry about food. We make enough money at our work to be able to clothe ourselves and basically work 40 hours a week, which historically in humanity is nothing. So we have lots of time to spend with our families, to spend in education, to spend in entertainment, to spend just enjoying this life that God has given to us. Unprecedented in the history of humanity. It's only been in the last 100 years that this has happened. So if you go back to the time when the Exodus took place, when Pharaoh, a king in Egypt, took all of the Israelites, 3 million of them, including their children and the wives and the men, 3 million of them were then supporting the style and the lifestyle of Pharaoh and, again, the upper class of the Egyptians. And these Egyptians hated. They despised the Israelites. They wouldn't eat with them. It was considered pure, straight racism. And they were racist. And you could kill an Egyptian could kill an Israelite without any consequences, because the life of an Israelite meant nothing. And they started crying out to their God, the God who promised Abraham and Joseph and the Israelites that he would be their God forever. And they started crying out to him and asking him to save them. And guess what happened? He did. And guess what happens when God's people today, as we start to face persecutions in the world, God will come and save us. And the way God is going to save us is, first and foremost, is to shine his light on the world and the problems that we face in our society and in our culture today. And so for decades now, there has been a plan to deceive, to enslave not only Americans, but the world. In 1968, the Club of Rome was founded. Let me show you some pictures here. This is one of the founders of the Club of Rome. His name is Alexander King. And Alexander King was one of the founders of the Club of Rome, started in 1968. He then wrote a report on what they're recommending, which is the first global revolution report. You'll see at the footnote, it says, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome. And this was written shortly after they started meeting. And in that report, he quotes, he says, the common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, because this is after World War II, this is the late 60s, early 70s, it says, in search for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality, and in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which demands the solidarity of all people. But as in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we have already warned, namely mistaking symptoms for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behaviors that they can be overcome. The real enemy then is humanity itself. Why do I read this? Why am I sharing this Club of Rome with you? I'm sharing this with you because my passage today is the people of God turning away from God. Here, God hears their cry in Egypt as their slaves. He takes them out of Egypt. He frees them from this bondage by giving plagues in Egypt. So these plagues go and tear down all the Egyptian gods. So the Egyptians come to realize that their gods do not stand up to Yahweh, the Lord. And as a result of that, they finally let the Israelites free, and Moses takes them into the wilderness. Then God calls Moses up to Mount Sinai to give him and all the instructions as to how to build this new government, which creates freedom and allows people to have justice and honor, and by following the laws of God. They've already heard the Ten Commandments. That's in Exodus 20. And the Ten Commandments begin with, and I just want to remind you, because most people don't know the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments begins with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment is, thou shalt not build a graven image. Don't build any idols and worship them. And then I'm not going to go through all 10 right now because we have limited time. But and it's the second one that I want you to pay attention to, because Moses goes up onto Mount Sinai, and he's up there speaking with God and talking with God and communicating with God for 40 days. And before 40 days had come to a completion, the people of Israel thought that Moses had died. They assumed that he had been up there so long that he probably wasn't coming back, and that he was lost and forever gone. So what do they do? They go to Moses' brother, Aaron. And they say, Aaron, make us a God that we can worship. A God that's not going to take us up on a mountain and consume us in fire and smoke. And so what does Aaron do? He thinks about all the different gods of Egypt. And the leaders of Israel all come together and they're all conspiring this together. And for some reason, they come up with the god of what's his name? Apis, which is a bull. And they decide they're going to make an idol of a bull, probably made out of wood and then coated in gold. So the first thing they do is they go and they collect all the gold that was given to them that they took from the Egyptians when they left Egypt, that God blessed them with. And hear this message. When we worship other gods, we lose the prosperity that God has put on us. And the prosperity begins first and foremost with our breath, with our life. He has blessed us with life. All life comes from God. And if you turn to anywhere else in hopes of finding life, you're looking in the wrong place. God has designed this body with the innate ability to be able to heal itself. So the first thing we need to do, if you're struggling with illnesses, and I've told this, several of my friends who have asthma, if you have asthma, especially adult onset asthma, the first thing you need to do is go to a good chiropractor who will adjust your spine and allow your lungs to start communicating with your brain again. And when it can, because every single nerve in your body goes through your spine and exits through your different vertebrae to the organs. And when your vertebrae get lose their flexibility when they become pinched. It doesn't necessarily require pain, but what is required is for that those vertebrae to have movement so that your lungs can start communicating with the brain again, and the brain can say, oh, you need oxygen. Okay. And allows you to start breathing again. And I can't tell you how important it is to first and foremost go to a chiropractor. And if you think I'm pro-chiropractic, you can count on it. Yes, I am. My life, my entire family's life completely changed when we started getting regular chiropractic care. And every single one of my family members to this day are adjusted by a chiropractor on basically a weekly routine. And it will change your life. It'll change your perception of how health works, because the medical profession, as we know it in the United States of America, is fantastic when it comes to emergency care. The United States of America has the best emergency care in the entire world. But when it comes to health care, it doesn't exist. What the United States of America has in the mainline medical model is managed sickness. That's what they do. You're sick, you go in, they don't help you get well. They don't help you get your body's innate ability to heal itself back into motion and heal those organs. Instead, what they do is they give you a drug which regulates that sickness and manages that sickness so you can still function in your sickness and never get well. That's the way mainline medicine works in the United States of America today. The number one way to overcome that mentality is to go to a chiropractor every week who will adjust your spine. So you need to find somebody who literally adjusts your spine. And if you're afraid of the noises that it makes, there's things they can and ways they can work around that to change that. But coming back to the fact that God has created this body in such a way to seek health and wellness and wholeness. At the same time, he has given us the intelligence and the means to be able to support a population of human beings on planet Earth, which is far beyond what all of the predictions of everybody has ever made. The Club of Rome, which we talked about earlier, which was established by Alexander King. And there we go. Alexander King, it was one of the founders of the Club of Rome. There it is. He and his cronies, and the Club of Rome still exists to this day. In fact, if you hear, if you read about an international think tank, that's how they go by today, just an international think tank, and you read about it, it's probably the Club of Rome, 70 men, in 1968, met for the first time, and it was by invitation only. The Club of Rome was still by invitation only, and their goal is anti-human. Their goal is enslavement of humanity. What for? Zero impact on the globe. Humanity cannot have zero impact and exist. We breathe the air. If we breathe the air, we're having impact on the world. We have CO2 emissions that goes out. That's why there's several different ways that they're coming at us. And how does this relate to Exodus 32? And how does this relate to the building of this calf? The people took their eyes off of God. And that's why the number one thing that takes place in a woke society, which is there to destroy humanity, that's why we have this all these different genders besides male and female, because Only a male and female can produce another human life. There's dreams of taking the sperm and the egg and doing everything without any human intervention whatsoever, and creating human beings without a mom and dad that they can point to and look at. And scientifically, it's all possible. But it takes away one of the greatest, most beautiful gifts of all. And that's the gift of a man and woman having love and loving each other. And it is out of that act of love that a child is born. God is all about love, and love for humanity, and love for you. And we can't forget that. And God created you either male or female. When you recognize the fact that that's the way God made you, and embrace that and shine in that reality, you will experience more and more of God's blessings upon your life. I talked about chiropractic. Why? Because again, we have this innate understanding, the innate understanding of the human body. To understand what innate means, it means that you don't have to think at all about breathing, and you breathe. You don't have to think about your heart pumping, and it pumps the blood through your system. There are many things that your body just automatically does. If you cut yourself, you don't think about how to heal that cut. You go to the doctor does not heal that cut. He stitches it up, maybe. He puts a Band-Aid over it, but he doesn't heal it. It is the innate force of life that heals that. And that life force is the power of God. And the power of God is alive and real. And when we forget about it, because it's been 40 days since we've seen the hand of God in our lives. It was 40 days that Moses was up on that Mount Sinai, and the people of God lost sight of the fact that God was there, that he was communicating with Moses. And what do? They build an idol. And when they built an idol, what's the first thing they had to do? They had to give up their gold to build this idol. And they worshiped an idol. And then the Bible tells us that they participated in acts of rivalry. What does that mean? It is actually a Hebrew word, and it entails not just singing and dancing, but probably some form of an orgy and sexual acts that the Bible doesn't go into. And the reason we know that is because that's the way the worship to the calf god took place. That's the way a priest who was worshipped in Memphis was worshipped. And so since they build this calf, they build this idol, and God had already destroyed all of the idols. He had shown that these idols mean nothing to him. So as we come in as a culture and a society, as people today, let us not start worshiping science, because the scientism has a pantheon of gods. A god for your health, a god for our environment, a god for your sexuality. There's all these different gods, and God's laws are very succinct. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. Do not make a graven image. Why? Because God wants a relationship with you. God loves you. God cares about you. And the last thing you want to hear God is referring to you as something other than his. And in Exodus 32, he talks to Moses, seeing what they're doing, he says, your people. It wasn't my people. He didn't say my people. And throughout Exodus, he says, I will take you through this, and I will take you to the promised land, and I will take care of you, and I will do this, and I will do that. And he consistently does it. And suddenly, when he sees that they don't have any care for him whatsoever, and it's no longer his people, but it's Moses' people. Moses goes to bat for the for the Israelites, and he pleads with God, and God forgives them. If you've been living in sin, and we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, what God asks of us is to confess our sins, come to him, and humble ourselves and accept his forgiveness. And when we do, he will clothe us and wrap us in his clothing, his righteousness. He creates the sacrifice for us. Here it is, an idol. And Moses took that idol and he burned it. And it was probably a large wooden thing that was then plated with all of the gold that they collected from the Israelites. And they simply burned it up, and the Israelites drank it to prove that there was absolutely no power of that deity in the lives of the Israelites at all. And God gave them a new set of stones and continued to lead them on to the promised land. Here we are today, living in a time and a culture where there is a hatred for humanity, there's a hatred for God, there is a hatred for the way God made us. Our desires are simply what is the first and foremost thing that comes before us. And if we simply desire something, then we should do it. And yet that's not what the Bible says at all. Our desire is to live like Jesus lived, to love our fellow mankind. And some of you will remember the bracelets that said WWJD. It stood for What Would Jesus Do? And if we live our lives like that, if we live our lives with love for mankind, not for their actions, not for their sin. We don't love and condone the sin. We do not condone that. That's why I will not marry a homosexual couple, because God does not love the sin. And you cannot read anywhere in the Bible that condones homosexuality. It doesn't exist. I cannot find a way to justify that. And it specifically says it's a sin. That doesn't mean I don't love the person. It means I don't love the actions of that person. I love that person. I hate the sin, and I love the person. And the church, that every single church in every single country in the world is filled with people who are sinners, filled with adulterers, liars, filled with thieves, murderers. The list goes on and on. Not a single one of us has the ability to come before God faultless. So what God asks so that we can be his family is simply to confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive your sins, and he will bring you into his family. And we can continue to do the best we can to live to follow the laws of God to the best of our abilities every day, day in, day out, and ask the questions, what would Jesus do? Pretty simple question. What would Jesus do? And when we answer that question, we find the means and the hope and the reality of God's love for you, for me, for mankind, and how to live. God has a way to defeat all the evil that is in this world today. He will defeat it. Our goal is to simply put on the armor of God. And I'm run out of time, but we put on the armor of God and we trust in his faithfulness and move in his way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves, a God who cares, a God who transforms lives. And so keep our eyes open to the reality of your love for us. Help us to love every single one of your children. Help us to support life in the womb. Help us to support life on earth. Help us to promote human flourishing. Help us to realize that you made this planet for us, for every single one of us. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. Please support this ministry. Go to our website, drshuler.org. Click the button I'd like to give. Follow the prompts. Buy Donna's book, Fearless Women. Just look up Donna Shuler, Fearless Woman on Amazon. Buy a book for your mother, your sisters, your cousins. And have a great day. And we'll see you again next Sunday. Oh, and by the way, Thursday at 4:30, we will be live on the Word Network. On throughout your cable networks and DirecTV. Have a good week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.